Let's open up God's word to 1 Kings chapter 8. This is a long section, but this is Solomon's prayer. He prayed as the temple was finished. The Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant had been brought in, and now he enters into prayer. Let's give our attention to God's word. 1 Kings 8, starting at verse 22. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry of the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel, and they pray toward this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. When anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in his temple, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, bringing his way on his head and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. And your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you. And when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple and here in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. And the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. When they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, and here in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart, and spreads out his hands toward this temple, and here in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive, and act, and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. He comes and prays toward this temple, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you. That all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. And do your people Israel, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. And they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. And you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you and the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, we have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen and the temple which I built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Amen. You pray with me. Father in heaven, we ask now that you'd help us. For we seek to come before you in prayer and supplication, in adoration and reverence. Help us, Lord. Work in our hearts. Help us to see this prayer of Solomon and how we might use it even tonight to come before you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I just wanted to get this before us tonight as we go to prayer, and just think of it in terms of how Solomon prayed and how we might use that even tonight or in the future. We've been studying the model prayer, and so this is not a model prayer. This is an example of a prayer that we have in Scripture. So let's just take a look. How does Solomon begin? What's his posture as he comes before the Lord on behalf of all the people? It's right here. His hands are held high, aren't they? Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He's about to call upon the Lord, but he's also posturing his body in such a way to speak to God with reverence, with humility before the altar, that's where the sacrifices would be made. That's his posture. He addresses and acknowledges God's nature. Oh, Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you. He is the only God. And Solomon is acknowledging that immediately. No God like you in heaven, above, or on earth beneath. Notice he mentions the covenant that God entered into, the covenant that God keeps, the covenant which demonstrates and displays the steadfast love of God to his children. He acknowledges and addresses the nature of God as he enters into prayer. He acknowledges that God was faithful. Not only looking toward the future, he's looking toward the past, and he's considering the fact that God has been faithful. You have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared. Who's on the throne? Solomon. He's looking back upon what's been promised to David, and he's seeing the fulfillment of it, partially, as he himself sits on the throne. He's remembering the works of God, the word of God, and seeing its fulfillment. He knows God's promises, and he's seeking fulfillment of them. Now he's looking to the future. He looked to the past. He's seen God's words, his promises in the past. He's seeing how he has fulfilled them, and now he's looking to the future. Keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised. He's seen that it's been partially fulfilled, but there's more to do, more that's within the promise of God, and he's looking forward to that, and he's seeking that God would keep it. You shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. God, here are your promises. Fulfill them. he doesn't miss out on the creator-creature distinction. I think he's just finished this temple, not just Solomon, but many, many people, this extraordinary structure. Probably one of its kind. And now he acknowledges that even this majestic structure that we built with our hands, it can't contain you. You're the creator. We are the creature. And he's acknowledging that within the prayer. See, he's not admiring the temple. He's not admiring the work of his hands. He's revering God. He's bestowing majesty on him, not upon the work of men's hands. He's pleading with God to be heard. Have regard to the prayer of your servant and to this plea. Listen to us. And this continues through verse 30 of 1 Kings chapter 8. There's a recognition of sin and a plea for righteous judgment. Here in heaven, act and judge your servants. How often do we ask that God would judge us? Judge your servants. Condemn the guilty. Vindicate the righteous. And there's a plea for forgiveness, not only once, but more than once. Here in heaven, forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them again to the land that you gave to their fathers. Solomon is anticipating that the people of God, the Israelites, will actually be removed from their land. Remember, Moses records this. Moses, the prophet, knows that, in fact, the people will neglect God. The people will ultimately be removed from the land. And here, Solomon, even in this prayer, as the temple has been built, as they've established themselves now, a unified kingdom, wars have, for the most part, ceased. There's peace. And yet, even in this prayer of dedicating the temple, Solomon is acknowledging that the people will sin. And he's pleading, even at this point, that God would forgive and bring them back. Think of this. If there's famine in the land, if there's pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, he's pleading for mercy. We need to be doing this, even today, as COVID continues be a significant issue amongst us, putting people in the hospital, making people sick. People are dying. There's pestilence among us. We need to plead to God for mercy. Plea for God's will to be done and increase fear of the Lord. Here in heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and act. Render to each whose heart you know according to all his ways. See what Solomon's recognizing. God works in our hearts. And he's asking that God's will be done in each of our hearts. And God is the only one who knows. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind. Why is this? So that they may fear you. That's his ultimate plea here, isn't it? Your will be done according to what's in their hearts, that they may fear you. There's a plea to build the kingdom of God. If your people go out to battle against their enemies, by whatever way you shall send them, according to your will. They go out to battle if they're seeking to build the kingdom, if they're seeking to expand the kingdom of God, so to speak. We're talking about the promised land now. It's an image. It's a picture. They go out to battle and pray to you, and hear in heaven their prayer, maintain their cause. And this assumes their cause is aligned with God's will. Whatever way you shall send them, be with us. We pray for them. We pray that God would be with us as we go out into the spiritual battle. He sends us out. We pray that he would be maintaining our cause as long as it's aligned with his will. Plea to build the kingdom of God. And again, a plea for forgiveness. If they repent with all their mind, with all their heart, in the land of their enemies, remember, anticipating exile, then here in heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you, acknowledging that they will sin, acknowledging that as a result of the sin, they will be carried away, and pleading that God would hear their prayer and forgive. Certainly a petition to be heard, isn't it? Let your eyes be open to the plea of your servant, and to the plea of your people Israel, giving ear to them whenever they call to you. Think of that. Temple was just finished. They were bringing the Ark Covenant in. Everything was done. Everything set up, ready to go. And now there's this general plea. Hear your people whenever they call to you. Well, those are just snippets of pulling things out of Solomon's prayer so that we can focus on particular things within the prayer. There's much more in that prayer. But it's just a great way for us to be reading Scripture. And as we read Scripture, using it to help us as we enter into prayer with God.